Unit 1. Sources for the study of Mughal history, political conditions on the eve of Babur's conquest. Page 3. Sources, political conditions on the eve of Babur's conquest. Structure. 1. Objectives. 2. Introduction. 3. Sources. 4. India on the eve of Babur's conquest. 4. Political condition. 5. Culture and religion. 6. Economic life. 7. Let us sum up. And 8. Check your progress. 1. Objectives. In this unit, we learn the sources for the study of Mughal history in India. We also study the political conditions of India on the eve of Babur's conquest. After going through this unit, you should be able to know 1. The great historical work of the Mughal period. 2. The memoirs of the Mughal emperors, which helped the historian in writing the history of Mughals. 3. The vast collection of manuscripts, state papers and other documents. 4. The political conditions of India. 5. The social and economic life of the people. 1.1. Introduction. It is necessary to know the historical circumstances which favoured the establishment of Mughal rule in India. The collapse of Lodi Sultanate in North India in 1526 AD saw the rise of Mughal rule in India, which became a dominant force in India till 1707 AD. How is it essential for the students of history to study the sources and to know the detailed history of Mughal rule in India? The sources for the Mughal period are full and copious. We have not only the chronicles of the reigns of all Mughal monarchs from 1526 to 1707, but often more than one work dealing with the history of each reign. These contemporary works, mostly in Persian, were written by court historians and sometimes by other competent writers who were interested in the history of their times. It is worthy of note that there are two autobiographies written by the Mughal rulers, Babur and Jahangir. Further, quite a large number of royal farmans and official orders of various descriptions dating from the time of Akbar and many semi-official papers have survived and serve as the most reliable source of some aspects of Mughal history. Further, you will learn that how India presented a dismal picture of disunity and division on the eve of Babur's invasion. The petty politically and autonomous local power centers were always at war with each other. As a result, when India was threatened by the invaders from the northwest, they failed to defend the border. In these circumstances, Babur invaded India and laid down the foundation of the Mughal dynasty in 1526 AD. 1.2. Sources. The historians are very fortunate in having many sources for writing the history of Mughal rule in India. There are many official and non-official historical records written especially in Persian, which was the official language of the Mughals. The Mughal emperors have left many records in the form of memoirs, court chronicles and official histories which helped the historian in writing the history of Mughals. The first of all great historical works of the Mughal period was Tuzuk-e-Babur or Memoirs of Babur. It was the autobiography of Babur, the founder of the Mughal dynasty in India. It is considered to be a first-rate authority on the early history of the Mughals. It gives us an account of 18 years of Babur's life. From the reign of Humayun, we have three important works, namely Tazikrat-ul-Waqad, Humayun-Nama and Tariq-e-Rasidi. Tazrik al-Waqaid was written by Johar, a servant of Humayun. It gives us an interesting details about the life of Humayun. Humayun Nama was written by Gulbadan Begum, daughter of Babur. At the request of Akbar, she went to write about Babur and Humayun. As she was very young at the time of Babur's life, it is very brief. Most of her works deals with the life of Humayun. She describes all about his victories, defeats and hardships. The Tariq-e-Rasidi was written by Mirza Haider, a cousin of Babur. It gives many details about the lives and activities of Babur and Humayun. There are many historical records of the reign of Akbar. Among them, Akbar Nama, written by Abdul Fazal, occupies an important place. It is a detailed history of the reign of Akbar. The first part deals with the birth of Akbar and the reigns of Babur and Humayun. The second part deals with the reign of Akbar from the beginning to the end of the 46th year. The third part is Ayn-e-Akbari. It gives in minute detail all Akbar's administration, its extent, diversions, officials, resources, conditions, population, industry and wealth. Khwaja Nizam-ud-Din Ahmad, the next great writer of the age, was the author of Tobakht-e-Akbari, a general history from the beginning of the Muslim rule to the 39th year of Akbar's reign. It is divided into three volumes and is published by the Asiatic Society of Bengal in the Bibliotheca Indica series. The Mumtakht-un-Tawarikh, written by Abdul Qadir of Baudan, was another important historical work of this period. Abdul Qadir was famously known as Bauduni. He, being an orthodox Sunni, severely criticized
Akbar's policy of religious toleration and his patronage of men of different religions in his work. The Taubat-e-Akbari is a general history of this period. It was written by Nizam-ud-Din Bakshi. It records the Muslim period from the period of the Ghaznavids to the end of the 36th year of the reign of Akbar. It gives a more authentic record of the events of the period it covers. The account of European travelers and the Jesuit father are also of great historical value. Father Anthony Monserrat, who came to Akbar's court on 18th February 1580, has left behind a very vivid account of the social and religious conditions of the people. For the reign of Jahangir, we have three important historical works. They are Tuzuk-e-Jahangir, or Memoirs of Jahangir, Iqbal-Nama-e-Jahangiri, and Masir-e-Jahangiri. They cover the period from the beginning of his rule, end of the 12th year. The memoirs are a priceless record of the reign of Jahangir. Padshah-Nama, written by Abdul Hamid Lahori, deals with the reign of Shah Jahan. The author was asked by the emperor himself to write a history of his rule. He was based on the model of Abdul Fazal and went on to record all about the political, social and cultural events of the rule of Shah Jahan. Masir-e-Alamgiri of Mustad Khan is a general history of the reign of Aurangzeb. It is an abridgment of Alamgir Nama of Mohammad Khan for the first 10 years. The later part of it, which continues up to 1707, is an original composition. The author was a constant follower of the court for 40 years and was an eyewitness of many of the events which he records. Kafi Khan was another famous historian of this period. Alamgir Nama was written by Mirza Mohammad Khan. It contains the history of the 10 years of the rule of Aurangzeb. It was dedicated to Aurangzeb in the 32nd year of his reign. Zinat-ut-Tawarikh, or Ornament of Histories, written by Aziz-Ullah, is another historical work of this period. It contains the history of not merely the reign of Aurangzeb, but also his successors. Besides these works, there are three collections of Aurangzeb's letters. They give an insight into the private life and sentiments of Aurangzeb. The vast collections of manuscripts, state papers and other documents in the Alienation Office, Pune, and the collection made by V.K. Rajwade, D.B. Paranis and other scholars are housed in the Bharatihas Samsodak Mandali at Pune and the Historical Museum at Satara, together with the datas of the various Maratha states, constitute the chief original source for the period in Marathi. Thus, the original and primary sources for the history of the period are very rich indeed. 1.3. India on the eve of Babur's invasion. India presented a dismal picture of disunity and division on the eve of Babur's invasion. There were many kingdoms and principalities warring with each other. There was no centralized empire and a struggle for supremacy was going on. With the result, India was a congeries of state at the opening of the 16th century and likely to be the easy prey of an invader who had the strength and the will to attempt her conquest. 1.4. Political condition. The invasion of Timur and the destruction of the Delhi at the close of the 14th century hastened the disintegration of the Delhi Empire. A number of independent and semi-independent states emerged on its ruins. India became a bundle of states of varying strength and dimensions. Among these states, Gujarat, Malwa, Jaunpur, Bengal and the Deccan, Bahamani Kingdom, were organized and gained stability. There were also numerous Hindu states like Mewar, Ranthambore, Orissa, Vijayanagar and others. Both Hindu and Muslim states constantly engaged themselves in mutual jealousy and distrust. They waged several wars among themselves either to extend the sphere of their influence or to settle their boundaries or to acquire a dominant position. Some of them even entertained the ambition of occupying the throne of Delhi itself. The Delhi Sultanate had become weak and ineffective. It was ruled by the Lodi dynasty. Its territory was now confined to the Punjab, Doab, Aud, a part of Bihar, and the country between Satluj and Bundelkhand. The affairs had gone bad to worse under the weak rule of Ibrahim Lodi. The life and property of none were safe in his hands. As a result of his rude behavior and insulting attitude, most of his nobles rose into an open rebellion. So much so that his own uncle, Alam Khan, in coalition with Daulat Khan Lodi, the once faithful governor of Lahore, invited Babur, the ruler of Kabul, to invade India. Bengal had become independent in 1338 to 1339 during Muhammad Tughlaq's reign. His cousin and successor twice tried to conquer the lost province, but he miserably failed to achieve anything. Thus, Bengal remained independent. On the eve of Babur's invasion of India, Nusrat Shah was ruling in Bengal, quite independent of the Delhi Sultanate. Mewar was another important state in India at that time. It was ruled by Rana Sangram Singh. Many Rajput rulers acknowledged his supremacy. He had the ambition of conquering Delhi and Agra. He went to the extent of inviting Babur to destroy the power of the Delhi Sultanate, thinking that Babur would come and go like Timur after plundering the country, but it turned out to be a gross miscalculation. The states Jaunpur, Gujarat, Malwa, Sindh and Kashmir became independent states on the eve of Babur's invasion of India. During Muhammad Tughlaq's reign, Bahamani and Vijayanagar kingdoms were founded in the Deccan. At the time of Babur's invasion of India, the Bahamani Empire had split up into five states of Bijapur, Golconda, Bidar, Ahmednagar and Berar. To the south of these states lay the kingdom of Vijayanagar, which was busy in fighting with its northern neighbors. From the above discussion, it is quite clear India in the beginning of the 16th century was politically divided and weak. Both in the north and in the south of this subcontinent, there were numerous states which were always busy in fighting with each other. Such a state of affairs proved very helpful to Babur. It was rightly remarked by Lanpole, Babur's invasion of India was well-timed. 1.5. Culture and Religion. Edwards and Garrett, in their Mughal rule in India, mentioned that even though India was politically divided, yet culturally she was becoming one. The spread of the Bhakti movement was bringing Hindus and Muslims nearer to one another. The greatest saints of the Bhakti movement were Ramanand, Vallabhacharya, Chaitanya, Namadeva, Kabir and Nanak. Their liberal teachings broadened the outlook of the people by setting aside caste distinctions. They softened the religious atmosphere in India. The Sufi saints in Islam did the work of reformers of the Bhakti movement. This resulted in mutual respect for each other's religion and saints. The Bhakti movement gave powerful impetus to the growth of such vernacular literature as Hindi, Bengali, Marathi and Maithili. Sanskrit flourished in the court of Hindu rulers. In the field of art, new contributions were made by the combined efforts of the Hindus and Muslims. 1.6. Economic life. Economically, the country was rich and prosperous. Agriculture was in flourishing condition. Generally, there was always surplus of food produced in the country. Trade also flourished. There was a lot of trade with Malaya, China, Central Asia, Afghanistan, Iran, Tibet and Burma. The upper and middle class in India were fond of luxury. The life of the common people was poor. Thus, from the above, it can be concluded that the political unity was conspicuous by its absence in India at the beginning of the 15th century. Though the country made progress in other fields, politically it remained disunited. It appears that the loyalty was preferred to national-regional unity. Further, in spite of her close contact with Afghanistan, Persia and Central Asia, India failed to notice the advance made in military science. Her northwest frontiers were totally neglected. The result was the country fell victim to foreign invasion. 1.7. Let us sum up. We are lucky in having large number of original works from which we can write the history of Mughal rule in India. Students of this period are indebted to Sir Henry Elliot for having collected and preserved Persian histories of this period and making them available to scholars in extract and translation. Many Persian documents, farmers, letters and so on in the various daftars and the private possession give us an insight into the events of the period. Thus, the original and primary sources for the history of the period are very rich indeed. On the eve of Babur's invasion, India was parcelled out among numerous unusual warring states. There was no paramount power in the country to unite them, and a struggle for supremacy was going on. India was not in a position to prevent a united front to any enemy who might possess the audacity and ambition to carve out an empire for himself. 1.8. Check your progress. Read the following statements and mark them if right or wrong. 1. Umayun Nama was written by Gulabdan Begum. 2. Abdul Fazal was the friend of Aurangzeb. 3. Padshah Nama was written on Jahangir by Abdul Hamid. 4. There was perfect unity in India on the eve of Babur's invasion. 5. Rana Sangram Singh was the ruler of Mewar at the time of Babur's invasion. Write 5 lines on the following. 1. Society and religion on the eve of Babur's invasion. 2. Ibrahim Lodi. 3. Write 3 lines on Abdul Fazal. 4. Write a paragraph on the political condition of India at the time of Babur's invasion.